morning. My name is Aaron Withrow, and I have the opportunity of serving you in this wonderful church throughout the summer. It's been such a wonderful joy to be with you and the fellowship and just the graciousness that each of you have offered in our time being able to worship with you through the summer. So thank you for your continual grace as we've had the opportunity to be with you. What an amazing fellowship it is that you are. I'm so grateful for each of you. I've heard so often how grateful you are for your pastor and your ministry staff at this church, and I agree 100%. The Lord has blessed you with an incredible ministry staff for this congregation, this fellowship. However, as I was sharing with some, and this is not diminishing the ministry staff in any capacity, you as a body enable them to be able to be and do their best in the giftings that God has given them, because you have chosen to live out the gifts that God has given you and to live within them and to apply them in ministry within your church and within the community. You essentially empower your pastors to be able to do what God's called them to do by the way you serve beside them. It has been incredible just watching you as a body in different areas of ministry and watching you participate in the various areas that God has gifted you. So I'm so thankful for you and what God has done and is doing and is yet to do amongst this body in our community. Amen? I'm so grateful and thankful. This morning, I'd like us to look at Luke's gospel. Continuing on in the story, I'd like us to pick up at verse 32. We'll read verse 32 through verse 40. I've titled this message, "Don't Worry, Be Ready." And if you caught it, there is a little ploy there, you know, the "Don't Worry, Be..." Hey, all right, wonderful, you got it. So I'll embarrass myself later with that this morning, but it will be fun and hopefully will help seal what the Lord has for us in understanding this morning. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 32, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation of God's Holy Word. "So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you are waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them. Put on an apron and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Jesus, we ask you, O Lord, that you would do what none of us can do. God, that as we study your word, that you would give us understanding, that you would give us insight to the truth that you speak to us this morning. Lord, that you would reveal yourself in a special way to our hearts and to our minds, that you would challenge us and stretch us, that you would encourage us or even discipline us if need be this morning. We just long to be in your presence and to be made more like you. Help us to hear your word and to apply it to our lives for your glory and honor and for our good. We give you thanks and praise and all the honor unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I prepared to share this text with you this morning, I could not get away from the teaching of Jesus that if and as we place him first, we need not fear. We need not fear any situation this life may throw at us, and we need not fear over anything that he may call us to. Jesus is teaching the disciples and the large crowd that is gathered around him an important lesson of the heart and assures them of the desires of our Creator to all of his creation. And it is that it brings great happiness to Father to give us the kingdom. And therefore, if we seek his kingdom only, we will receive that very gift that he longs for and desires to give to each of us. I was reading another commentator's thoughts on these passages this week, and he said the following. I tried to find some other way to rewrite it, but it just sounded better the way he said it. So here it is. He says, while recently watching Grantchester, a murder mystery set in the 50s, England, with an Anglican priest as a main character, I was struck by the simplicity of life at that time. No internet, no cell phone, little television, and very few possessions. What a contrast to my own life, he continues, which is full of cell phones beeping at me, browsing the internet, more books than I can read in a lifetime. The characters are able to focus their time and efforts on pursuits that furthered relationships and their vocations. This simplicity was extremely appealing to me, he says, and reminded me of the beginning of the Luke text for this Sunday. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He continues, we live in a world where there are so many things clamoring for our attention, it is easy to lose our focus. In this text from Luke, Jesus is calling us to prioritize activities that give eternal life. Such a call to center or recenter our lives on God might seem extremely difficult in our world, but is essential for our lives as Christians. If we don't, as Jesus goes on to suggest, we will be caught unprepared. As I pondered and I've looked over this text throughout Luke and throughout the entirety to try to feel the context of these few verses that are right in the center, earlier in Jesus' teaching in this gathering of people, Jesus is leading up to the understanding that we're about to talk about today. I mean, he starts off talking about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the heart of the Pharisees. He speaks on some things about the Pharisees and says there will come a time when all will come to light and nothing will be hidden. He speaks about the context, do not fear mere man, but God alone. For what can man do to us? Even if he's one that could end our life, what can he do beyond and after that? Rather fear one who has a consequence of that which comes after our life. Do not fear one who can simply take your life away and nothing more. Not just beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the ritualistic aspects of them or their legalistic hearts, but beware also of blasphemy. Here earlier in Luke, he speaks about blasphemy and what it is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, attributing the things of God to evil or even to self. So hardening our heart against God that we try to even take or receive credit unto ourselves for the things we know that are of God alone. And he reminds us again, do not live in fear. Don't worry. He speaks then about beware of the matter of your heart. This was last week that we worked on extensively together. That big word, avarice, or covetousness, or greed. To be careful of having a love of money or a love of any other part of God's creation over him. We learned and focused on, may we remember that all our money and possessions are the Lord's. And we ought to use it in a manner worthy of him, to be wise stewards of all that he has entrusted to us. Jesus' call here is for us to have a lack of attachment to the earth or any of his creation. This is not our forever home. We're simply stewards of all that he gives us here, and how we steward it now prepares us for the life to come. It's an important lesson for us to learn, not just stewards of the financial resources that he gives, but stewards of all of his creation. We ought to be the ones most concerned over his creation and caring for and taking care of that which he's given for us. Which then brings us to today. Do not live in fear. Do not worry. Do not live under the control of any other thing, including wealth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In fact, if we're living under the control of our wealth in a manner that we heard from Jesus last week, in hoarding or at other people's suffrage, then free yourself from the bondage. Sell it all, is what he says here. In fact, anything in our lives that we are living under the control of, rid ourselves of it. Free oneself of the slavery that these things bring upon us when they hinder us and hold us back to the fruitfulness and the fullness of that which God has for us. And don't worry when you do it, for God knows what he is doing, and he has gladly chosen to give you and me the kingdom. The kingdom. Now and the not yet. It's not just waiting for death and a hope of the resurrection that one day, boy, if I just give everything and I suffer all this life, then maybe one day at the resurrection I'll receive the promise of kingdom. No, Jesus says we can live in the kingdom in the here and the now and the not yet. That yes, there's a promise to come, but there's promises to be able to live in now and to embrace and live in. And in fact, Father takes great pleasure in giving that to us. Teaching us what it is to live in him. It's living in his kingdom in the here and now. Therefore, beware of your heart. Don't worry. Seek him only. Trust him alone and be ready. For life is short and we must all give an account. May the Lord find us blameless today and in the days to come, with nothing to hide, no shame, truly prepared and ready. And we must stay ready. I'm not going to chase my squirrels this morning. For those of you who know me well, know what I'm talking about with that. The first parable here, when he talks about in these verses about the second and third watch, whether in the early hours or the late hours, the second or third watch. In my research, I've come to find that the Jews had three watches of the night, one from 6 to 10 p.m., another from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., another from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. And here, when he's speaking to this parable, he's speaking about being ready even in the second and third watch for the return of the master. There's so many scenarios in my life that remind me of what this is like or helps to seal it for me. I want to share one of them. I asked my son's permission if I could share this, and he said that I could. So there was a time that we as a family were ready to go. We were actually preparing to attend a funeral where I was serving. I had already left and went ahead of the family and was at the church preparing, and we're getting ready to proceed. And I didn't ask my wife if I could share this story. I asked Levi, but sorry, honey. So I'm already at the church, and then as we are in the line getting ready to walk through the hallway to get ready to go up on the platform to begin a funeral service, I get a phone call from my precious bride and says, "Is Levi with you?" I said, "No. I don't know where he's at. I think I might have left him at the Airbnb." Nothing I can do in the moment as I prepare to go forward, and I just had to heed the words of Jesus this morning, and don't worry, be ready. So I proceeded and went on, and finally as she returned quickly and went back and won't tell you how long of a ride it was to go back to the house, but as she returned back to the house, there she finds our son sitting on the steps with his hands waiting for Mama. You see, what happened with Levi is that he was placed in the van and he was ready to leave with the rest of the family. However, when Mom needed to go back inside to grab something, he saw something on the outside that grabbed his attention. And he longed for that which was on the outside and proceeded to quickly, somehow, in the mix of the scuffle with the other children, somehow managed to escape the ready position and managed to find that object that was so incredibly important to him at the moment. Distracted by the outside desire, he gets out of the van, and then as Mom jumps back in the van to get to the church for the funeral, leaves our precious little boy behind. I hope I can't get in trouble for this. I don't know. I know that I'm not the only one that's left a child behind, though. So he's left behind. In the midst of all of that, the fear of, is he going to be okay? The woods are there. The hot tub was there. So many other things. And we come back, see him just waiting, realizing that that distraction from the outside wasn't all that worth it after all. You see, friends, sometimes I think in our own lives, we live our life where we might even start off ready, but then there's things in our life where we become distracted by things of the outside, the things that really don't matter at the end of the day, the things that will cause us to be unprepared and even left behind. Think a moment with me for the second parable, a homeowner and a thief. If the owner knew when he had to be ready, then he would have been waiting and ready for the thief. Think of it this morning. If you knew that, and may it not be, that someone were to break in one of your homes while we were in church this morning, but if for somehow you knew that it would be this day, that there would be an account for your home, you would be ready and set that thief a running, rather than the thief coming in and running off with that which is ours. And he says, likewise, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And there's no need to live in fear if you're living your life in the ready. You know, Levi is always the first one in the van anytime we say to load up. And he's never been left behind again. We also now have a buddy system. We also now do roll call every time we get in the van after every gas stop as we travel. But Levi is never left behind and he never has to worry about ever being left behind again, because he does what it takes to be prepared to be ready for the departure. My dear friends, may we learn from Levi and may we not be left behind when departure day arrives. Amen? There will come a day we will all face account for the distractions of which pull us and draw at us and pull us away. And if we are not ready, he will come like a thief in the night for us. But my dear friends, we don't need to be like that homeowner. We can be ready. We can be prepared. And we need not worry when he will come, because he can come at any time if our life is ready to give an account for what is yet to come. Do not let wealth be the distraction. Do not let sports be the distraction. Do not let even our kids or grandchildren be the distraction. Seek God and his kingdom alone, and all these other things in the world will be added unto you, my friends. But be ready, for there is a day when we will all face an account. This past Friday, two NFL teams matched up for a preseason game. Maybe some of you watched it. For many, maybe even some here this morning, NFL is one of the idols placed ahead of God. For many players, the game is one of their idols that they place ahead of God. However, this past Friday, we witnessed something different. I didn't watch the game, so I don't know all the details except for the headlines that I could catch that I'm sure many of you have caught, or maybe some of you watched the game itself. During the fourth quarter of the Lions and Falcons game this Friday, one of the players was severely injured. injured to the extent that they brought the ambulance onto the field for him to take him off the field. Injured that it took a lengthy amount of time, that the game was paused for some time and delayed until things were cleared up and ready to begin the game once again. But now, when it's time for the game to begin, rather than getting right back on the field to go at it, rather than even winning the game in honor of your player who was injured, both teams were in agreement that the game needed to be suspended and the remainder of the game needed to be called off. And players from both teams gathered around a football in the middle of the field and began to pray. I think on Friday there were a few players who revealed to us what it is to be more concerned with him than it is to be concerned with a game, than it is to be concerned with a paycheck, than it is to be concerned with my fame. All were reminded the brevity of life as they saw a player suffering on the field. All were reminded. Now, what we do with that reminder is what matters. My dear friends, all of us one day will face an account. Are we distracted with the outside? Are we focused on the one who can lead us to all truth and who actually takes pleasure to give you and I the kingdom? Being ready. Sure, they showed it's fine to enjoy a game, enjoy the competition, but when it really comes to it, these players were gathered for prayer for the thing that really matters. At the end of the day, it really didn't matter who would win the game. And really, at the end of the day, they both truly won. You see, my friends, if you're ready, there is no fear, there is no worry, and nothing else in this life really matters. There's no anxiety of what is to come, for you know what is to come, and we are actively waiting with anticipation and excitement. You see, worrylessness comes from preparedness. Worrylessness comes from readiness. Worrylessness comes from right priorities and a sanctified, holy life. Once heard not long ago, someone was speaking of spiritual battle and some spiritual battles that they were facing and encountering. And in the midst of that, over years of living for the Lord, finally came to the conclusion and understanding that really the best spiritual warfare is a sanctified life. A life that is set apart for God and God alone. A life that trusts him in every area and category of our life. A life that is set that we need not worry, but we live actively pursuing and ready for what is to come. For our hope is not in this world, but in the one who has made the world. In closing, yes, you heard it. Aaron's shortest sermon of all time in history is today. You get to witness it. In closing this morning, I want to introduce to you a song to a parody that I attempted to write and receive from help from some of my kids last night on Don't Worry, Be Happy. So try not to laugh too hard, because I am about to embarrass myself. Yet may it be something that will help to seal the thought this morning. Hannah, yeah, come on, you can come. Hannah's going to come and help me. Now, I might need to hear the song briefly just so I get the tune right again. Bear with me as I... There we go. All right. And now I can't get to stop. Why am I doing this? Now I'm so caught up, I can't get the tune at all. All right. I'd like to sing a song we wrote about the Lord and his hope. Don't worry, be ready. Don't you worry about your life.
what you'll wear or where you'll dine. Don't worry, be ready. For life is worth much more than clothes, and if we trust, He will provide. Don't worry, be ready.
Don't worry, be ready now. Don't worry.
Seek me first and my kingdom, and all these things shall be given. So don't worry, be ready. Don't be afraid, little flock. Receive His kingdom as a gift of love. Don't worry, be ready.
Ready?
Do 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 do.
Don't worry, be ready now.
Do 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 do.
Don't worry.
Sell all you have and give to the poor. Store your treasure where thieves are no more. Don't worry, be ready. For where you put your treasure, there your heart and life are sure. So don't worry, be ready.
Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Don't worry, be ready.
Do 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 do. If He comes back late at night, may He find your lamp alight. Don't worry, be ready. If the landlord knew when the thief would come, he would have prepped and the thief would run. Don't worry, be ready.
And a bridge.
Now that I've sung my song, I really hope it's on your tongue. Don't worry, be ready. And all you do from this day on, make sure the Lord is number one. Don't worry, be ready.
Everybody now.
Do 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 do.
Don't worry, be ready.
Do 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 do.
Friends, don't worry, be ready. Amen. Hannah, thank you so much. My dear friends, as our choir comes and we get to sing a song much better than the one we just sang, may we truly take to heart. May we remember what the scriptures say. May we not be caught up in just the things of the world, or caught up in our fame, because I just lost any fame I ever had. But may we truly set our life in such a place that we're ready. And all the fun we have, and church ought to be fun, and we celebrate who God is and what is to come. The reality is Jesus is coming. He is coming back. Will He find us ready? My dear friends, are you ready? Don't worry. Be ready. Leads to something much better, Pastor.